And thank you, Area 2, for hosting this PRASA. And I'm sending a special thank you to a member who is from the Tri-Island, that district, Molokai, Maui, and Lanai, for making this beautiful le po'o. Le, like a lei, and po'o means head. So I'm hoping, can everybody say le po'o? Awesome, you ready and you prepared for PRASA 2026. Yes, sir. All right, okay, so let's begin. So before we begin, I'm gonna ask Andrew to come up from Area 18. He's our jokester.
Good morning, my name's Andrew, I'm an alcoholic. Our grapevine joke. A man crawled out from under a pier and staggered down the beach, checking for bottled drinks. Bottle after bottle turned up empty. Finally, he caught one and pulled the plug, and out popped a genie. The genie says, "Man, I've been in there for 3,500 years. Thanks for letting me out. Now you get two wishes." "I want one bottle of wine that never runs dry," proclaimed the man. Poof, in his hand was an everlasting bottle of wine. He took a big slug and the bottle refilled itself. "Wow," he said. "And the second wish?" asked the genie. He thought for a moment and asked, "Hey genie, you got another bottle just like this one?"
Thank you, Andrew. All right, and our reader for this panel is Jo Ellen from Area 2. Yes, that's what it says here.
Come on, Jo. You're up.
She's introducing me.
Oh, I think that's what I'm supposed to do. Yeah,
I brought my own. Okay. Hi, I'm Jo Ellen. I'm an alcoholic, and I am your Area 2 Alaska Panel 74 delegate. Today, I'm going to read about remote communities. One of our members, Sandra H. from Hooper Bay, Alaska, couldn't be here with us, but we are fortunate to have part of her story on sobriety and remote communities from the grapevine. So now it starts her story. "I had my first drink at age 17. Mind you, it was just a couple of sips of champagne, but my young body was not immune to the effects, even at that small amount. It was the best feeling I had felt in my life up to that point. I was downing vodka a few weeks later. I gulped the whole thing down and it got me so plastered that the next morning I was given a horror show account of my actions during my blackout. This was an ominous warning, if you ask me, but I did not heed it. I went on to drink for 20 more years. My attempts to sober up became more common and futile. I had a sober friend I had kept in touch with all those years in treatment. She got me in touch with some AA people who were on a committee called Remote Communities. I knew it was my one chance to finally stay sober. I helped secure a place for the Remote Communities Committee to hold their meetings, all of which I went to. I believe my higher power provided a chance for all this to coincide. I have been sober since the weekend that the Remote Communities Committee flew in on an airplane to this small village where I had always felt so trapped. Little did I know they brought the message that would free me. Today, I call into weekly AA meetings via telephone with so much gratitude. Through telephone and the internet, I'm able to stay in regular contact with sober members of AA. I do not feel isolated and alone anymore. Thanks to AA and the Remote Communities Committee, I can call this little village my home. It's a place I can stay sober in." And that's from AA Grapevine, December 2024. "A place I call home."
Thank you, Jolene. Thank you. Okay. Please join me with thanking. Oh, am I on the right page? Sorry. Excuse me. Okay, so right now I'm going to introduce the presenters. Our presenters for this panel are Drew W., Area 79, Ben L. from Area 2. Deborah S. from Area 17. And Aline R. from Area 58. And our timer for this panel is Ryan A. from Area 93. You want to come up?
Hi there, Ryan Alcoholic. Area 93, District 24. For this session, each of the presenters will give an 8-minute presentation. The green light comes on immediately after the presenter introduces themselves. The yellow caution light comes on after 7 minutes, and the red ends the presentation. If the red light turns on, we will thank the presenter with a warm applause. If the presentation is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 16 minutes with a yellow light at 14 minutes. Sharing from the floor microphones will be timed at 2 minutes. The yellow light comes on at 90 seconds, and the red light comes on at 2 minutes, followed by loving applause. If the speaker is being interpreted, the time allowed will be doubled to 4 minutes, with the yellow light coming on at 3 minutes. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. All right. So let's get into the panel here. So Drew W. Area 79 will be talking about geography, distance from roads, town, etc. So let me introduce to you our presenter number one, Drew W.
Hello, new friends. Hi. In Canada, we say hello, eh? Eh? We actually, yeah. It's my privilege to be serving as a Canadian delegate to the 75th General Service Conference. I live in beautiful British Columbia, the host area for your 2025 International Convention. And I'm thrilled, yes, I'm thrilled to have been assigned to serve on my the Treatment and Accessibilities Conference Committee for my rotation. My name is Drew, and I'm an alcoholic. Thank you, Area 2, and the PRASA Programming Committee for your loving invitation to contribute to this important discussion on remote communities. Today, my topic is geography, distance from roads and towns. So BC Yukon Area 79 is the second largest geographical area in our Canada-US service structure. We have a lot of geographically remote districts due to our vast mountain ranges, lakes, and rivers. Some districts are only accessible by ferry, or boat, or even float plane. The first known remote member in Area 79 was a loner in the Yukon. One day, while reading the local newspaper, Jack P. noticed a small advertisement offering help for people with drinking problems. The ad had been placed by Dal D., who founded AA in the Yukon in April 1949. Jack P. joined Alcoholics Anonymous in 1950 and stayed connected by letter. Like many remote communities committees, say that five times fast, in order to reach these geographically remote members, we actually hold remote meetings. So currently our area has a total of 7 designated remote communities weekly teleconference and video meetings. We have over 400 active AA groups, and some groups meet on hybrid or virtual only format to make their meetings more accessible to AA members. So I think a good place to start the discussion on geographically remote communities in AA is by asking ourselves, in each of our respected areas or districts, do we place an importance on making our program available to those in remote communities? Do we have a chairperson responsible for this work? If so, have we taken inventory on what has worked in the past? And what work is needed to continue this important 12-step outreach? I'd like to take a quick survey of the room. I'm curious, show of hands. How many people in this room have an AA meeting that meets in person in their home community? Okay. Now, how many people in this room do not have an AA meeting that meets in person in their home community? One. So to better understand somebody's experience, I try to put myself in their shoes. So let's imagine for a moment what it would be like living in a community with no local AA meetings. Picture being an alcoholic in a remote town where no one has yet gotten sober. You confide in a doctor, a counselor, or a support worker, but they don't have the solution to your drinking problem. The nearest city is hundreds of miles away, or you might even have to wait days due to isolation just to leave. What would that feel like? If you live in a city with plenty of meetings, this might be hard to envision. I try to imagine how I would feel in that situation, and more than anything, I think I'd feel isolated. And I felt that way, even in recovery, despite being surrounded by meetings and fellowship, because this is a disease of the mind. But having no access to AA at all, that is a completely different level of isolation. So to better understand the remote community experience from a member's perspective, I spoke with two members from different communities in my area to shed some light on the situation. The first member I spoke with was Laura Lee, a long-timer with over 30 years of sobriety who served on our area committee two panels ago. She recently moved from a city to a small community called Kingcombe Inlet, a remote community of only 82 people, accessible only by boat or float plane. I wanted to hear her perspective on living without nearby AA meetings. To stay connected, she adapted. She turned over. She went to virtual meetings and book studies and picked up the phone. And she shared her gratitude for the pandemic's push toward virtual AA, making connection possible from anywhere. When work takes her to the city, she attends in-person meetings. But leaving the inlet isn't easy. She has to take a two-hour expensive water taxi just to leave, or a 45-minute float plane. Both of those options require a car to be stored at long-term parking when she arrives so that she can leave those areas to go into the city. And she shared with me that people in her community are seeking sobriety at treatment centers off the inlet for anonymity and privacy, underscoring AA's role in such facilities. In her previous district, she brought AA meetings into treatment centers. And having seen firsthand how crucial this support is, she emphasized the importance of connecting those in treatment with a local AA contact before they leave. Without this connection, many returning home would lack vital support in early sobriety. Simply asking a member in treatment where home is allows AA members to facilitate 12-step work, and that's our Bridging the Gap in action. And let's face it, for those returning to remote communities, access to AA can be even more limited. If no local meetings exist, members can leave treatment with contact lists, virtual meeting listings, and AA literature. We all know sponsorship can happen remotely. Virtual literature meetings allow members to read the big book from home. So Bridging the Gap just doesn't connect people to AA. It ensures that no matter where someone lives, they are not left alone to recover. And this work depends on cooperation with our professional community and our treatment chairs, both needing to maintain strong relationships with facility staff. And of course, AA members must show up to carry the message. Our responsibility is to ensure no one leaves treatment feeling alone and that the hand of AA is always there. Now, the second story I'd like to share with you is about a DCM whose name is Candace. And she serves in our District 9. Her district spans five small islands with nine active meetings. And so she lives on Salt Spring, and the other ones are Main Island, Saturna Island, Pender Island, and Galliano. There's gonna be a test later, did you get that? But with no active general service representatives when she stepped in, many members had little knowledge of the service structure. Determined to bridge those gaps, Candace committed to visiting each group. However, the ferry system made it difficult to travel, and some trips required waiting up to 10 hours for a return, while others demanded overnight stays due to limited schedules. Despite these obstacles, she made the effort, even billeting with members she had never met to ensure that she could meet members from within her district. So one pivotal visit to the Saturna Island illustrated the impact of service. The local group believed that she was the leader of AA. So with the service manual in her hand, she explained her role as a trusted servant rather than an authority figure. A light bulb went off, and soon after, Saturna gained its first GSR. Yeah, inspired by her outreach, three of the five island meetings now have representation in the service structure. Yeah. So Candace's dedication, sacrificing time with family, right, we all do that in service, navigating logistical hurdles and fostering connections, transformed the district and the members she served. And while success isn't always guaranteed when we're working at Bridging the Gap with remote communities, her story is a reminder that service is about showing up, planting seeds, and trusting the process. So how can we reach those remote members who haven't found us yet? Maybe it's proposing new ideas in our districts or areas, CPC workshops, newspaper or radio advertisements, or outreach to the professional community, PSAs. like a CPC committee could host a luncheon or a meeting to inform professionals in each remote community. But if we can reach those professionals who have direct contact with alcoholics, if we're creative and come up with new initiatives and solutions, we have a chance to save a life. Ideas are great, but they need committed service leaders to bring them to life. So the question we must ask ourselves, as the light is about to turn red, in serving remote communities is simple. Are we doing all that we can to ensure that no one is left behind? At the heart of our 12-step work with remote members is the principle of inclusivity, and Candace's leadership in her district exemplifies this, inspiring me to be a better leader in AA and to serve to the best of my ability. Thank you for my time.
Great. Thank you, Drew. Awesome. Okay. And introducing our next speaker is Candace. Is that correct?
I'm good.
Candace. Wait. Sorry. Oh no, wait, sorry. Excuse me. I'm looking through. Okay. Presenter number two. Terry? Wait. Ben? Okay, wait. Hey, you guys gotta come out here and look at this. Terry, you gotta look through the page, okay?
Right here.
Oh, here we go. So I gotta flip back. Okay, sorry. Or I'm not, but anyway. Second speaker, Ben L. from Area 2. Yay!
Or Terry, whatever. That's fine. Hi, everybody. My name is Ben L. I'm an alcoholic. Area 2, your alternate delegate for Alaska. Thank you, Rebecca and Tandy, for asking me to speak on this. Remote community has been a passion of mine early on in sobriety when I met Tandy at a pre-conference assembly. And so I'm going to be speaking on the language barriers, and I kind of base it specifically in my own experience to Alaska. And so, good morning. I want to thank the Planning Committee for asking me to be a part of this presentation panel. I was excited to hear it was going to be about remote communities, for that has been a passion of mine since early sobriety. There are so many pieces to the realm of remote communities in AA. One of the reasons it has not been officially separated into its own committee at the GSO level. In my experience, other committees work alongside some sort of remote community of their own, such as treatment centers and other medical establishments, correctional facilities, elderly care facilities, etc. There are those too that are homebound due to medical or physical and mental challenges, sometimes known as a homer. A remote communities group has worked alongside other committees to offer outreach, support, and financial stability. The pieces all fit together. I mean, isn't a correctional facility in a way a remote community? And isn't a correctional facility a treatment center? They all kind of fit together. Though some might disagree with that statement. A group of people can be seen as a community if it is separated in any way from society. We will define it as remote. We don't hate or discriminate. While there are many aspects to a community that may make it remote, today I'm going to speak in the regards of the language barrier challenge that many communities face. First, I will be giving some background information specific to Alaska and its native languages. Alaska is home to more than 23 native languages and over 300 attached dialects, depending on the location. These languages belong to four distinct language families. As the term implies, a language family is a group of languages descended from a common ancestor. Languages related in this way often share many resemblances, just as do people descended from a common ancestor. Although these languages exist, English is primarily the spoken language throughout the villages. The reason why English is the primary language in Alaska is because Alaska Natives were largely forced to stop speaking their native language following the American Purchase of Alaska in 1867, particularly after missionary Sheldon Jackson arrived in 1877, implemented an English-only speaking policy in schools, which included punishments for speaking native languages. This policy significantly suppressed the use of Alaska native languages throughout the late 19th century and early 20th centuries. You might find reports online from the 1990s, which I found when I started researching some of this stuff, that states that this was largely the choice of many Alaska Natives to abandon their language and move to English speaking, but they are wrong. And I wanted to point that out in case anybody does any research online. Personal stories from elders paint a very different picture. I was disheartened to read that perspective online when I was doing this research. While the paper was written back in the 1990s, I hope more individuals know the truth nowadays. Why English may be the main language spoken throughout the state, culture can alter how the language may be spoken. For example, the words may be spoken slower and more drawn out. Some might take their time speaking, for there is meaning behind what they are saying. Many might think speaking is a way to get from one moment to the next, speaking quickly about day-to-day situations or tasks, or what they are going to do after work. But some are more conscious about their words and speak more deliberately. Alaska Natives are known for their storytelling, an art that has been rhetorically taught throughout the generations. When speaking to an elder, there may be more information given than you might be expecting, but if you listen, there is always meaning to it. This might pose a challenge when traveling to Native communities and communicating with locals. You might ask a question, and instead of getting the answer you're expecting, there may be some background information leading up to that answer. This is important to keep in mind when traveling to rural communities. If you show up energetic, speaking fast without getting to know the community, some may be withdrawn from their group or not want to visit planned get-togethers. There is also another type of language that may be challenging, body language. An Alaska Native woman informed me that body language can shift from one community to another. For example, some may think prolonged eye contact is insulting or rude, while others may require it as a form of respect and engagement. This opened up a whole new thought process of mine. I hadn't even thought about body language. And I could be insulting someone and completely unaware of what I'm doing. It reminds me of my recent trip to Bermuda. In Bermuda, everyone says hi to one another and sometimes ask how their day is going. I understand this doesn't seem like a big deal, but I'm telling you, like, almost every person you came in contact with would say hi or ask you how your day was doing. And I lost my spot. Almost every single person, yeah. It was great. When we arrived back to America, I was used to greeting everyone quickly and remembered how private Americans can be private. Not that Americans don't say hi to each other, but when I would say hi and smile at people, sometimes I would get a weird look or kind of like a "why are you talking to me" kind of reaction. It was like we were standing in the line at Smash Burger at the airport, and I was just saying hi to people, and they were like on their phone, like, "why are you talking to me?" So I'm curious how body language might differ from one culture to another in more ways. This is something I have little experience with, but I'll be more conscientious of it when visiting these rural communities. An elderly Native woman I spoke with informed me that communication isn't the real problem in the villages. The larger challenge is sobriety in the smaller communities when there's not enough sober members to support a local AA group. That is why the telephone meetings are so important, and that COVID actually helped with some of these meetings. Another challenge was in the smaller communities that everybody knows each other. This can cause concern for anonymity. I know how it is to quit drinking and be shunned by those around you, that you think they may think you're better than them because you got sober, or that sobriety is stupid or lame. And she also spoke of that culture problem more than the language barrier. Sobriety is hard enough. I can't imagine trying to get sober with hardly any support. I could barely do it with everything being handed to me. There are so many challenges that remote communities face when it comes to having access to AA. People are suffering in those rural communities, so I am glad we were able to make some kind of effort in carrying the message. This is our job, our duty to give the gift that is so freely given to us. Thank you for letting me speak today. And we always want you, the hand of AA, to be there. We are responsible.
Thank you, Ben. You have to pay attention to my body language. Like you know what I'm talking about. Thank you so much. Anyways. All right. Oh, it is an honor to introduce our next presenter, our Area 17 delegate, Deborah S. Aloha, everyone. My name is Deborah, sober alcoholic, Area 17 Delegate, Panel 75. Thank you, PRASA Committee, for inviting me to present on a remote communities topic. And mahalo nui loa to our district member, Tri-Island District 13 for this beautiful lepo'o that flew on three planes to get here. Aloha. Thank you. This afternoon, my subject is cultural differences. First, let me define my title. The definition of culture means relating to the ideas, customs, and social behaviors of a society. Differences are a point or way in which people or things are not the same. Well, I must admit, this topic was a challenge. I realized my experience with this subject would be one-sided. I can speak fully to the cultural aspect, but lack participation in the point of differences. Considering where I come from, Hawaii is a melting pot of cultures, customs, ethnicities, languages, and lifestyles. As shared in my area highlights, Hawaii has the largest proportion of multiracial people in the United States, and we are Ohana. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. That was the culture, custom, and belief system I grew up in. Now, to that end, sharing my point of view is important, but not all important. With that, the term cultural differences exists in the background of a service piece F107, making the AA message accessible. The same service piece from the 75th General Service Conference Treatment and Accessibilities Committee Agenda, Item E. Review progress report on the update of service materials with shared experience from the neurodivergent alcoholics. Secularly speaking, the top barriers and key points about these barriers is language barrier being one. The most obvious barrier, including differences in dialects, accents, and jargon, can create significant communication challenges. Stereotypes and prejudices, oversimplified assumptions about a group of people based on their culture, which can lead to biased thinking and misinterpretations. Conflicting values, when individuals from different cultures have vastly different beliefs about things like timeliness, hierarchy, or decision making, leading to clashes. Ethnocentrism, the tendency to view one's own culture as superior, leading to a lack of understanding and appreciation for other cultures. Psychological barriers, personal anxieties, preconceived notions, and emotional states that can impede cross-cultural interaction. Nonverbal communication, different gestures, facial expressions, and body language can be misinterpreted across cultures. Gender roles, variations in gender expectations can lead to misunderstanding in cross-cultural interaction. Power distance, differences in how power is perceived and distributed within a society. And uncertainty, avoidance is how comfortable people are with ambiguity and unfamiliar situations. The Alcoholics Anonymous, coming from that platform, speaking is some examples of remote communities. One, language, individuals seeking help with a drinking problem who are not able to access the message in a language they can speak, read, or understand. Other language access problems arise for members of the deaf and deaf-blind communities in parts of the country where no ASL meetings are available. Geography, those with accessibility challenges, including those who are homebound, or those who live in facilities like hospitals or nursing homes where there is no access to AA. Geographically distant communities, for instance, in northern Canada, Alaska, and other rural parts of North America. Culture. AA is a diverse fellowship which includes many different cultures and identities. While many alcoholics feel quite comfortable in an AA group, in any AA group, some AAs have shared that at times they feel they find it easier to attend a special interest AA meeting for identification purposes as an alcoholic and to be able to open up about certain person experiences. For example, individuals might feel most comfortable sharing in an AA, a women's AA meeting, LGBTQ AA meeting, a young people's meeting, or meetings designated for BIPOC, Black, Indigenous, people of color. Some individuals may face additional burdens of stigma because of religious or cultural prohibitions on consuming alcohol, which can make identifying as an alcoholic particularly difficult. In each of these cases, whether communities are remote because of language, culture, or geography, AA's Committee on Remote Communities endeavor to work with those communities to offer the hand of AA in whatever ways the community finds most useful and to learn from those individuals and members who are part of remote communities. AA's increased diversity, adaptation, and change core principles remain. The fellowship has expanded significantly beyond its original demographic, which was primarily composed of men with similar social, ethnic, and economic backgrounds. The current membership now encompasses a much wider range of individuals, including diverse ages, genders, race, and cultures. While the core message of AA remains consistent, the fellowship has adapted to societal changes. The adaptation includes the adoption of new technologies such as online meetings to facilitate broader access to support. Regardless of the method of communication, online or in person, AA members continue to share their experience, strength, and hope with one another. The goal remains staying sober and helping other alcoholics. The core communication is considered the language of the heart. In closing, ask yourself, does Alcoholics Anonymous address cultural differences? Most importantly, is there anything missing to help the alcoholic find us? I recommend we take the time in the next few weeks as we journey to the General Service Conference to review and discuss the work completed in the past year. Brainstorm suggestions, changes, or corrections, and share them with your delegate. Consider agenda items that may be voted on at the conference and ask your group for their conscience, because it is at the conference where we decide on the work ahead to be done. With that said, be sure to keep in mind why we need a conference, an excerpt. We may not need a General Service Conference to ensure our own recovery. We do need it to ensure the recovery of the alcoholic who still stumbles in the darkness. One short block from this room. Thank you. Thank you, Deborah. All right. And I'm going to introduce our last presenter, Eileen. Eileen from area. Oh, I didn't have to put my glasses on. No wonder. Eileen R. from Area 58.
Hello, everyone. My name is Eileen, and I am an alcoholic. My heart is beating so fast. Again, my name is Eileen. I'm from Oregon, Area 58. District 16, my sobriety date is July 21st, 1989. My home group is ASL, Experience, Strength, and Hope. I will share today on the topic of how technology has increased the chances of deaf alcoholics finding AA becoming sober, and helping other deaf alcoholics achieve sobriety. Here are some examples of recovery tools that are available more than ever before. There's so many more now. Deaf alcoholics can attend an accessible AA meeting every day of the week online. That was not possible prior to 2020. It is now possible to find sponsor, fellowship, and service opportunities. AA literature in ASL is now easy to access on YouTube. The new deafaa.org website was developed in November 2023. Number five, the deaf alcoholics can share their alcoholism recovery stories with other deaf alcoholics in American Sign Language, inside and outside of AA. Since PRASA 2024, deaf have had the opportunity to work with Grapevine staff to develop a Grapevine ASL channel on YouTube. That's a critical tool in carrying the message to the still suffering deaf alcoholic. Deaf AA members requested a special forum, and a miracle happened. It was approved. We now have this amazing opportunity to work with GSO staff for that online special forum for deaf AA members. The forum is scheduled for January 17th, 2026. I would like to use the rest of my time to share with you some ideas for how you can help carry the message to deaf alcoholics. The best thing you can do is make it possible for deaf alcoholics to find an accessible AA meeting today. You can do this by sharing the deafaa.org website information with all AA entities. Your district, your intergroups, central office websites. Recommend adding an easy-to-find link to deafaa.org on the website homepage at the top of the page. Let all AA service entities know about the DEFAA website, DEFAA.org website, your public information, your CPC, your access committees, 12-step committees and phone services, treatment committees, hospitals and institutions, corrections communities, and remote communities. Service committees that provide AA information to resources outside of AA can provide a deafaa.org flyer in the informational packets they share with treatment centers, corrections, professionals, hospitals and institutions, and courts, doctors, counselors, those types. Those PI and CPC can provide information about AA to a variety of deaf community resources, such as each state has an association for the deaf, of the deaf, ASL and LSQ, Canada Association of the Deaf, Hispanic Latino Associations of the Deaf, colleges that serve deaf students, deaf counseling services, deaf churches, and deaf clubs. Resources that provide services for the deaf, such as ASL, American Sign Language, and LSM, Lengua de Señas Mexicanas, interpreter agencies, community colleges and universities, churches that offer ASL and LSM interpretation, state agencies that provide deaf and hard of hearing services. I want to add that GSO updated the MG-13 AA guidelines, sharing the AA message with the alcoholic who is deaf. That's new information, and it's here. The deaf message, that's a schedules for meetings. At the same time, it's partnering with the Texas and Portland Deaf Access, and it's back here, of where you can find meetings in that area. Jackie B. did a great business card here in English, Spanish, for anyone to take, and it has a QR code in it, and it's on tables and the accessibility table, and it has the information about the special forum. Now, if people want to go out and find the deaf alcoholic, I know many places don't have access, so you can search in this venue for counseling, treatments, but deaf, you know, can show up anywhere, in corrections, courts, and we get DUIs as well, you know. We have everything just like hearing people. We don't have the treatment center options. It's very limited. I called AA as to where they have a location of a AA or interpreted meeting, and they always say, we don't have money for that. We don't have an interpreter for that. Sorry. And what we have now are resources that you can share with those organizations, and they can find meetings. They can find AA literature, the big book, in American Sign Language where it's understandable. It's great that they now have stories in deaf ASL stories and from people themselves who are deaf, and they can achieve sobriety. The big book is translated, just the first 164 pages, but they don't have the stories with them. And so you listen, I want to listen up to how you became recovered. So all this time, you know, all my years, but I wasn't able to hear the stories or watch the stories. So now Jackie B. and Chris and I talked that the Grapevine was now offering a YouTube channel where we could upload recovery stories of the deaf from deaf people by deaf people with a certified interpreter who is deaf to be able to do the stories. Wonderful to have. And so my hat's off to everyone, Jackie, and everyone who participated in that. Let me back up. Area 58, I have to give it to you. We have very few deaf people who show up to the business meetings. You know, we're all busy, but our dream was to have a district where deaf could have their own district. We all voted, and next weekend, I think, it may have passed, we need help getting the word out about the special deaf forum, and we want to contact all over the United States and Canada to those remote deaf who are all alone and they don't have any other support of other deaf people. We want them to find out where meetings are, and you can pass out these cards to them about the special forum next year. So it's like, I can't go to AA today. Where can I find AA today? So next year is great, but what about right now? Where can we help now? So you give them the card as to where they can find meetings, and the card also has the information about the deaf forum. So, and that way we can have fellowship. New York also has the ideas to improve access for deaf all over. So I think that's it. Oh, one more thing. Don't clap yet. I'm sorry. I'm not up here very often. I haven't even practiced with this. So if you in your area have any online, hybrid, or in-person American Sign Language or Mexican Sign Language meetings, interpreted meetings or events in your area, send the information to me or the deaf AA webmaster at gmail.com. you know, where we can go and have some fun and learn about things. And that's where we all meet together, interpreted meetings. Even at the international, we're going to have a whole group of people coming in. You need to know where to find us. Please send any information you have, contact about hybrid in-person meetings, like I said. Every day, maybe one time a month, you have these meetings or events. We have a webmaster page, and it also has information in English and Spanish as well. We're all family there. So if, let's say, a person uses sign language and their whole family speaks Spanish, there is a school here that teaches American Sign Language, but not Lengua de Señas Mexicanas, Mexican Sign Language. And the border is right near the States, and there are some people who use American Sign Language or Mexican Sign Language, sometimes only Mexican Sign Language. So that can be a barrier within their own home as well as in the meetings. So we have interpreters who use LSM or Lengua de Señas Mexicanas. There are some people who don't know that there are Spanish language interpreters that sign in American Sign Language and speak Spanish as well. I met with the national president for the Hispanic Association of the Deaf, the president. I met with them and I explained the situation about the language use here, ASL, LSM, and the French Sign Language, but we use more American Sign Language here. So I think that's it. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Wow, thank you, Eileen. And how about a good hand for our interpreter, Suzanne? Awesome, thank you, both of you, thank you. Thank you so much. All right, let me put my glasses on. I think this is the part now where we open up the mics. Is that correct? Panel six. Okay. Is there something, presenter Ben? Give me 1 second, Deborah. Okay. I can't find where we are over here. Okay, how much time do we have? Okay, I do know right now it's open up for discussion. We have 3 mics, one there, one in the middle, and one way over there. So please line up, and we keep the sharing to 2 minutes, so pay attention to the lights, and I'm going to start to my left. Let's start that way.
Hi, family. My name is Zoraida. I'm an alcoholic, and I'm in Area 5. And I serve as one of the area, the contributions treasurer for the area. And I thank you so much to Aileen for all of your support with our area in trying to create, you know, a Gold Can initiative to reach out to the ASL community. You know, for years we've had a member who comes to our area through the district and to our area meetings, and he's deaf, and so our area, and I'm so grateful for our area because we have put it in our budget that we pay for an ASL interpreter for him to come and attend and carry the message to his other to the other deaf members in ASL, and I'm so grateful for that. But this Gold Can initiative that we've started is to collect money so that we can pay ASL interpreters at meetings and not necessarily dictate to them you can only go to this meeting or that meeting because that's where they have interpreters, but to help them decide what meetings they want to go to, which meetings help them receive the message, where they have the better connections, where they can learn more and carry the message to hopefully other deaf alcoholics as well. So I'm so grateful for all of the service that we've done. And, you know, I learned all of this through PRASA, you know, and through interacting with people like Aileen, who like really bring this to the forefront and bring awareness. So I'm really grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Erin, alcoholic, GSR for a meeting in Ukraine. And I'm a representative of a community that became remote because of the war. And so to be able to come here now, I'm here to help represent what a remote community can do. And they sent me here specifically to be part of the business meeting to vote yes on motion 2 about making this have a digital aspect to it as well so that we can make PRASA reach around the world. I know it's Pacific region, but there's a lot of communities out there that would like to actually attend if they can't afford it or that they want a voice to be able to be here. And I trust and believe that part of remote communities is logistics, bringing about logistics so that we can have the hand of AA always to be there. Not necessarily some prejudices that there might be when it comes to, I heard body language and other things like that, because if we have, it's a language of the heart. Right, we come from all many different kind of diverse cultures and other things like that, but if we're speaking from the language of the heart, it transcends that. And I hope as sponsors that we're able to bring that about and that we don't allow prejudice to get in the way so that we can still have the hand of AA reach out. And again, like I said, business meeting, motion 2, let's be there for that. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
Good afternoon. My name is Jeff Gulak. I'm an alcoholic, past delegate, Area 93, Panel 69. I want to thank the panelists for a great presentation. Thank you very much. I'm very glad to say that my area still does hybrid assemblies, and my home group does hybrid meetings. I can tell you, though, that every single business meeting that comes up as to whether we should continue it or not. So we'll see, time will tell. On a quick personal note, I wanted to thank Area 2 for this wonderful PRASA. I am so grateful and love and gratitude for PRASA has been a great part of my sobriety. And with that gratitude for PRASA and for AA and for all the people that come here, today, March 8th, I celebrate my 20th sobriety anniversary.
Oh, happy birthday.
I'm very, very grateful, alcoholic. Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to the far left over there.
Hi, I'm Lena. I'm an alcoholic. I am a Area 9. I'm a GSR. And this is for Aileen. I'm going to cry. Oh, my goodness. So when I was very early in recovery, I attended a PRASA online. And there was a gentleman in the GSR roundtable room. They came in and he was trying to get his words heard by us. He was American Sign Language first language. One of the things he wanted to let us know was that American Sign Language is not a disability. It is literally their first language. And there was a wonderful woman in that room who was able to go on and listen to him and relay it to us. Because between the teleprompter and the interpreter, things were getting gibberished. But once she started speaking, she said that it wasn't her first language, and that God must have put her in that room, right, so that we could really hear his message. And he had asked the GSRs. I wasn't a GSR. I was just, like, fiddling around because I heard that PRASA was going on. So I went online, and I'm checking it out. And I swear you could hear a pin drop. You could tell that everybody that was listening was just silent. And we just listened. And he begged us. He said, please go back to your groups, GSRs, and let everybody know that we need more resources, that we don't get the things that you guys get. And my heart was so full that day that I decided I was going to become a GSR. And I became my group's GSR alternate. And now I'm the GSR almost 4 years later. And it's such a beautiful thing to see this come full circle, right? I got to see that from my very first PRASA, and now I haven't missed a PRASA since. And I get to see it today come full force. Man, that is the language of love right there. That is the language of the heart. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It says here, I have to let everyone know that the panel will end in 15 minutes. And that we will only be able to hear from the next person in line at each microphone. So that'll be 1, 2, and 3. Okay, just to let you know.
Hi, my name is Patty Smith, and I am an alcoholic, and I'm so grateful to be here, and I want to thank each one of our panelists. What a fabulous panel. What I'd like to bring up is the fact that I am also from the only online district in all of the United States and Canada. It started out in Area 72, and we now have 45 or more groups that participate in our district. And we have been able to bring in folks that have no other ability to get to meetings, period. And they show up. We've got treatment centers that show up. We've got two different treatment centers that show up. And you know, I am so grateful that we have this, because COVID didn't stop us. It exploded us to where we have more accessibility. And there was a comment made earlier in the day about online groups not making contributions. I can stand here and say that's not true. We really, truly are very great part. We are totally connected with. And the idea of having a PRASA, virtual PRASA, I was able to go to my first PRASA when it was virtual. And I'm now, this is my first in-person PRASA, and I am so grateful because I can feel it and I love it. And I hope that we get this motion passed so more people can come here and see this beautiful thing. So anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Over there.
Thanks. My name is Big. I'm a recovered alcoholic. I currently serve as Area 42 GSR servant for the North, and I'm also the alternate DCM for District 6. I want to pause and say thanks again to Area 2 for fabulous hosting the panel. You did the first, right off the first presentation, you had my hair standing on my arms, okay? And it reminded me, okay? I live in a smaller town, I live in a remote town, but I live in a smaller town, but I was at one point, I had attended Alcoholics Anonymous, but I had found myself laying on a floor, dying one miserable day at a time from alcoholism. And I heard somebody talk about isolation up here today, and it reminded me of that. It also reminded me of Bill's story, where the remainder of his friends were gone, and he was a lone wolf. And it reminded me of many of your guys' stories, where you told me about your isolation. Okay, and in our area, in my district, we are online, and we are trying everything we can to reach the communities. And I am proud to be a part of that. Okay, but I was, like I said, I was a part of AA at one point. Okay, and we just sat around and talked about therapy at one point. There's a program of recovery right here. And last night in one of the round tables, I heard about people pulling off AI to get people interested in our program. Right here in our own literature, it says, to those now in its fold, Alcoholics Anonymous has made the difference between misery and sobriety, and often the difference between life and death. AA can, of course, mean just as much to uncounted alcoholics not yet reached. Therefore, no society, that's us people, of men and women ever had a more urgent need for continuous effectiveness and permanent unity. We alcoholics, not the people on the street, we alcoholics see that we must work together and hang together, else most of us will finally die alone. That sounds pretty remote to me. The 12 traditions of Alcoholics Anonymous, we AAs believe, again, not the people on the street, the people in the room here, we AAs believe the best answers are experience, and thank you. It's in the book.
Go to that. We still got time. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm Brian. I'm an alcoholic. I'm from Area 5, and I serve as the chairperson right now. It's great to be with everybody. Love to see you all every year. And thank you so much to all our panelists. All your presentations were amazing. And all the panelists from all the panels have just really been amazing this time. Ben, you mentioned about the history of language in a particular part of your area, and you know how natives were forced to lose their language, and how you found some inaccurate information online, and it just moved me to want to share about a podcast that I listened to. That's you know, not AA, but you know, I'm not speaking for AA. I'm just speaking member to member here, nerd to nerd. But it's called stolen Surviving St. Michael's, and it won a Peabody and a Pulitzer. And it's just really amazing reporting. A journalist kind of unravels the whole story about residential schools in Canada in the context of our own family history, and it talks about the generational impacts up to this date. And it's not AA, but I think it is still relevant, because if we are reaching out to remote communities and you know, creating things to serve them, I think it's important that we understand the history. So again, that's called Stolen, Surviving St. Michael's. Thanks.
Thank you. We have enough for just two more. So I'm going to go with you, and then you will be the last one over there. Go ahead.
Thank you so much. My name is Aaron. I'm an alcoholic. I'm here from Area 06, but I'm representative the Russian-speaking Alcoholics Anonymous in the United States and Canada.
Nice.
We have more than 15 groups in AA in Canada, and the first group was in LA, California, more than 20 years ago. And now we have lonely people in Nevada, in Seattle. So we carry the message for the people from different countries, but they speak on Russian and they don't able to speak on English here. So I have information and link, so come to see me if you go into the correction or rehabs or any place where you carry the message. We have this one, information about our group, and we also have one meeting for deaf people online on this language. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Hey, everybody. My name is Wendy Dotson. I'm an alcoholic, Area 6, GSR. Thank you so much for all that information on the panel. And I just want to share, as someone who walks into AA meetings regularly and I do not look like the people in the meetings, unless I go to the Spanish-speaking meetings, but I'm grateful that I was told that it's one alcoholic helping another alcoholic, and I just want to emphasize that we speak the language of love. We have recovery that we can speak, you know, and I'm grateful for that. And then the other thing I wanted to share is that what I was taught is that it starts with me. What can I do for Alcoholics Anonymous? And we have a lot of committees and stuff, and that's great, but a lot of times, you know, if you've ever been on a committee, you know, it takes time to vote, talk, all this stuff, right? But I was told, what can I do, right? And I just want to share two stories of my experience. And they're not all because I'm altruistic and Mother Teresa. One started because I was having relationship problems, and I'm seeing what's happening in my community. My community people are getting deported and stuff, and I was talking to my sponsor, and he said, why don't you do a four-step workshop where people can bring their fears and their resentments, and they don't have to drink over this, you know what I mean? The fear of being deported. And so that happened with that. And then my other one is, a tree fell on my home and I didn't have a place to live, and I was depressed and thinking about myself. And what's the best way to get out of self is help somebody else, right? And so there was a shelter, and there wasn't meetings there since COVID. COVID stopped it, and my sponsor's like, why don't you go see if you could start a meeting there? It's not H&I, because H&I doesn't let you sponsor. So I went to the shelter, and I spoke to the coordinator there, and we started meeting every Fridays at 7, Santa Cruz, California, 115 Coral Street. We are in a shelter. I bought a big pot of 45-pound coffee. All the coffee that's left over, we go out into the streets and we give it to the people on the streets. They put down their crack pipes, they put down their syringes, and then they take the coffee. And that, to me, is what Alcoholics Anonymous is. And so I just want to say, if you lack something in your community, if you're a recovered alcoholic, work the steps out of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. You have an experience to share with other people. If you need any help with that, I'm available, because I have experience with that. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous is. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, it's 12:07, and at 12:10, I have to cut it, end it. So I have enough for one more person, but you only have 2 minutes. And it's going to be you.
Eileen, alcoholic. Yeah. Area 03, Arizona. I want to thank Drew for sharing yesterday his book, Our Stories, First Nations, Inuit, and Métis Recovery. Arizona has 22 Native nations. If there was ever another area that should do something like this, stories of Native stories. I read this, not all of it, but most of it last night, and it is wonderful. And I'm hoping that Area 03 can take it up. I was the remote communities chairperson at the area a couple of years ago, and I've been there. Thank you.
Okay, I'm sorry, we are out of time for this panel. For those that wanted to share but did not get the opportunity,